It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. -43 degrees currently under a nice fog mist. They are calling for rain today and rain tonight. It could be heavy at times this evening. Low around 40, east wind to 25, gusting to 30. For tomorrow, rain is likely before 9 a.m. Then mostly cloudy skies with a high near 44. Southeast winds to 25, gusting to 30 tomorrow. Coming up on the Midday Report, the space launch is put off for now at Kodiak Spaceport Complex. It's been a week of record warm temperatures here in Kodiak. And a new totem pole is being carved in Juneau. That plus a shooting in Juneau that has caused some eyebrows to be raised.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Washington announces more severe sanctions against Russia. President Biden warns the U.S. will make sure Russian leader Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine costs Russia dearly, strategically and economically. NPR's Asma Khalid reports on Biden's address to the nation this afternoon about the biggest attack one state has waged against another in Europe since World War II.
President Biden says the United States is blocking four more major banks and specifically mentioned Russia's second largest bank, VTB. This means, he says, every asset they have in America will be frozen. Biden also announced plans to limit exports to Russia and sanction additional Russian oligarchs.
This aggression cannot go unanswered. If it did, the consequences for America would be much worse. America stands up to bullies. We stand up for freedom.
The Russian president is not on the sanctions list, but Biden told reporters sanctioning Putin remains an option. The president emphasized the U.S. is not acting alone, but in coordination with allies. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
NATO had been monitoring the Russian military's actions for months. Then President Putin gave the order, a pre-dawn raid against Ukraine by land, air, and sea. NPR's Frank Langfitt is in Odessa, an economically vital area of Ukraine that also came under missile attack.
This is the initial phase of a large-scale invasion, and the target, first and foremost, is going to be the capital. And the idea will be to come in and lay siege to the capital, encircle it. And the quote today from the Americans was, the intention is basically decapitate the government, installing another method of governance. And I've been hearing that from military analysts with ties to the government here on the ground as well.
NPR's Frank Langfitt reporting. Well, following the invasion, global crude oil surged beyond $100 a barrel. Investors are worried about potential supply disruptions. Here's NPR's Camila Domonoske.
The last time oil saw triple digits was in 2014, but for months now, analysts have predicted this psychological milestone. Oil was already expensive because producers weren't keeping up with demand. That made gasoline more expensive and contributed to inflation. Then came warning signs of an invasion. Russia is a major oil and gas producer, and either battles or sanctions might disrupt exports. Europe would be the most affected. The continent relies on Russia for more than a third of its natural gas, which is used for heat and electricity. European natural gas prices have surged. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
Well, this morning, U.S. stocks were down sharply. At one point, the Dow plunged more than 800 points or 2.5% after the open. But stocks have since rebounded, especially after President Biden said he would work to limit the economic impact on U.S. consumers. The Dow is now up 92 points. The Nasdaq has risen 436 points, more than 3%. S&P is up 1.5%. It's NPR. The government's revising up the U.S.'s gross domestic product estimate for the final months of 2021. Now reports the economy expanded at an annual pace of 7% from October to December. And for all of last year, the GDP rate surged 5.7%. That was the fastest growth since 1984. Looking ahead, the economy's recovery faces multiple threats, from the security crisis in Eastern Europe and stubbornly high inflation. The Federal Reserve is widely expected to try to rein in surging prices by raising interest rates beginning next month. Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay bill moved one step closer to becoming law today when the State House of Representatives passed the measure. NPR's Melissa Block reports Florida is one of many states seeking to restrict instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity.
The Florida House approved the bill mostly along party lines. Its Republican backers say it protects parental rights in education. Opponents call it toxic, homophobic, and transphobic, and say it stigmatizes LGBTQ youth. The measure bans instruction about sexual orientation and gender identity from kindergarten through third grade, as well as later if the teaching is not, quote, age appropriate. The Florida House has also passed the so-called Stop Woke Act to restrict how race is discussed in classrooms and the workplace. Both bills are considered likely to pass the Florida Senate as well, and Governor Ron DeSantis has voiced his support. Melissa Block, NPR News.
U.S. stocks close up with the Dow gaining 92 points. It's at 33,223. It's NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Kodiak's first rocket launch in nearly 4 months has been postponed until March. California aerospace company Astra is planning to launch its second commercial rocket from Kodiak's Pacific Spaceport Complex. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth has this report.
Astra had expected to open a launch window this Sunday from the state-owned launch complex on Narrow Cape, but as of Tuesday, that's been postponed until at least March 8th. Astra has a history with Kodiak. The Alameda, California-based Rocketeer sent its first commercial rocket into orbit from the island last November. Alaska Aerospace hasn't received any state subsidies since 2015. It relies on federal funding and private contracts from companies like Astra. Alaska Aerospace CEO Milton Keeter says everyone is looking forward to another successful launch.
I think it's absolutely incredible for, you know, both us and the state of Alaska, because we're actually bringing in more customers and, you know, increasing the aerospace industry here in the state of Alaska. So, you know, this time is incredible because, you know, we have a lot of commercial companies starting up that need a place to launch from.
But Astra's fortunes have fallen since its last rocket shot up in Kodiak. A failed launch earlier this month at Florida's Cape Canaveral sent its stock price tumbling. Shareholders have also filed a lawsuit. Keeter worked for Astra before he was Alaska Aerospace's chief executive. He says failure is part of the business and that other space startups have experienced similar speed bumps.
This is not unusual. I compare it a lot to the aviation industry when it first started. There was a lot of mishaps to make aircraft fly. So, you know, you're going to have those with the new industry coming up and growing and using new technology and new mechanisms to do it. The companies are doing a phenomenal job of making sure that they execute the operation safely. And that, I think that's the most critical part.
Astra executives haven't said much about the upcoming launch, but the company did release a statement this week that it's still investigating the cause of this month's launch failure in Florida. Astra says the Federal Aviation Administration will provide oversight and review the findings of its final report. Meanwhile, a new launch window has been set for Astra's launch in Kodiak. Alaska Aerospace says it's slated to happen between March 8th and March 15th. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Kodiak has been on a spree of record temperatures. As KMXT's Dylan Simard reports, this February has featured unseasonably warm temperatures, some of it fueled by a Pineapple Express.
Last Thursday was the first day in a four-day run for record-high temperatures in Kodiak. The days from the 17th to the 20th of February featured temperatures just shy of the 50s, and Monday, Tuesday, and likely Wednesday were unusually warm, if not record-breaking. Each high temperature record was only broken by a degree, with new highs set in the upper 40s. Records over those 4 days were set as far back as the 1940s. Pam Zatanek is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Anchorage. She says the warm weather pattern is a mix of tropical air and warm downslope winds.
We're getting modified tropical air that has been coming towards Kodiak, and we're actually expecting more of that later on this week. We've been seeing a trend of it this past winter.
Those tropical weather patterns track with heavy rain that arrived Wednesday on Kodiak Island. That rainfall is slated to continue and intensify as a storm system from Hawaii makes its way up to southwest Alaska. El Niño conditions, seasonally warm seas, have also made for a more dramatic weather environment. Weather was largely overcast in Kodiak when these records were set. According to National Weather Service meteorologist Michael Cutts, there is a real possibility that more records will be broken in the coming days, even as the weather gets more rainy.
The chances are already there in a lot of different ways. Again, it depends on how much precipitation we get, which tends to moderate or change the ability of the atmosphere to warm up. And next few days, looking at a pretty fair amount of rain coming in, as well as gusty winds.
These are the latest events in a record winter that featured the coldest February on record in Kodiak and the state record highest December temperature. Cut says the weather patterns are unusual, but not indicative of any sort of trend.
What we're looking at is getting away from the individual days and blending them all together into a trend month-wise, year-wise, decade-wise. And those are the ones that we look at in particular when we're dealing with looking at global warming or any of that other stuff that goes on.
In the meantime, Kodiak Island can expect heavy and warm Pineapple Express weather from Hawaii to push the temperature up as the rain comes down. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
A new totem pole is being carved in Juneau to represent the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian tribes of southeast Alaska. As KTOO's Lindsay Brolini reports, it's different from most totem poles, and it's taken longer than anticipated.
TJ Young is chipping away at a massive log. Small, curled wood chips pile up on the floor. Some of it is still uncarved, but there are figures emerging along most of the pole. Most totem poles are carved on one side, but this one is two-sided. They're calling it a 3D totem pole, and it's a lot more work. This pole is more than 20 feet tall and almost 4 feet wide at the base. Young says it normally takes him 3 to 4 months to carve one side of a pole, but for this project, he's 6 months in and still has a couple months to go.
Yeah, it's been challenging. It's been the most time-consuming project I've ever worked on, but I think it'll be worth it, and I think it'll represent all of us, you know, not just my family or my clan or my nation, even. It's representing all three of us, so.
Since the totem pole represents the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian of southeast Alaska, Young says he only included elements that all three tribes have in common. At the base of the pole, there is the man holding up the world. A little further up is the strong man.
He's in there ripping a sea lion in half. It's just a little glimpse of the story. It's a long story.
There's also salmon, the sun, the moon, the stars. There's an eagle on one side and raven on the other for balance. And on top of the pole, there are three figures representing the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian nations. Young is Haida from Heidelberg and has been carving for over 20 years now. He says he and his brother grew up idolizing master carvers like Robert Davidson, Bill Reed, and Jim Hart. He and his brother started carving right around the same time.
He got a set of tools. I got jealous, so I got a set of tools.
TJ Young's brother Joe Young helped carve this pole, and Greg Frisbee and Andrea Cook will help with the painting. Young says that the process of carving totem poles includes the whole community, especially when he's home in Heidelberg, where the carving shed is like a community center.
But it was definitely a spot where people could come in and visit and share stories, even help on the pole. We have some younger kids come in and helping out.
And it's the same when they raise totem poles, too.
Everyone's holding the rope. They just want to feel like you're part of it, and everybody, you know, it goes up easy if we all help out.
Installing this pole will be different because it will be carved on both sides. Young says it'll have to be lowered onto a metal pole at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's arts campus in Juneau. He's not sure when the totem pole will be unveiled. Right now, he's more focused on getting the pole done before his deadline in mid-May. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
Some residents of a Juneau neighborhood in the Mendenhall Valley are rattled after a Juneau police officer shot at a 65-year-old man and struck two trailer homes on Tuesday evening. Police say there was one injury. Someone inside a trailer got a minor cut from broken glass after a bullet went through a bedroom window. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports that state and local authorities are investigating the shooting, which originated with a call about the man threatening to harm himself.
Maggie Watson was at home on Tuesday night when she heard several men outside her window yelling a man's name over and over again.
I was just glued to the window.
She says she didn't hear the men identify themselves, though she has some difficulty hearing. She says it sounded like they were trying to convince someone to come outside. She couldn't see who from her window.
And one officer made it to the snow berm.
From her home in Kozloff Acres near the Mendenhall Glacier, she points out a snow berm across a street, a few doors down where investigators later marked a few spots with bright orange paint.
And took out his long gun. And pow, 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 pow. And I knew exactly what that sound was. And I remember just, I mean, my jaw dropped. What the f*** just happened?
More police officers showed up, working the scene for hours. She didn't get many answers that night. On Wednesday evening, the Juneau Police Department held a press conference and put out a written account of the incident. Police said they reached the 65-year-old man on the phone before arriving on the scene, and he said he was going to hurt himself, and he had a gun. When they arrived, police said they announced themselves and, quote, started a dialogue with the 65-year-old man. In a written account, they said that during this brief exchange, quote, one or more of the officers believed the subject was pointing a gun at them, end quote, which led to an officer shooting his gun. Police Chief Ed Mercer described what happened just before the officer fired his gun a little differently.
When officers attempted to contact him outside his residence, one of the officers received a threat.
After the shooting, the written account from police said the 65-year-old man, quote, went to the ground. They checked him for injuries and handcuffed him and took him to the hospital for evaluation. Mercer said police recovered a gun, but would not say who it belonged to. Mercer cautioned that the investigation is ongoing and that information was emerging as he spoke. He said recordings from officers' body cameras will be part of the investigation. He said two officers with the Alaska Bureau of Investigations, that's part of the Alaska State Troopers, arrived in Juneau on Wednesday morning to investigate the shooting. Mercer said it's important that an independent party work the case.
We take these things seriously. We want another set of eyes to look at the case and provide input to us and special prosecutions, a conclusion on what is decided based on officers' actions.
Mercer said these investigations can take 3 to 6 months.
We'll try to get through this as fast as we can. We would like to see some closure on this and at least be able to provide information to the public and continue to be transparent with what happened out here yesterday.
Mercer said the police officer who fired his gun was put on administrative leave. JPD refused to identify the officer by name, but Mercer said they would release it by the end of Thursday. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
For the first time in nearly 20 years, the small island community of Mokoryuk has enough players to field a high school basketball team. They have 7. 5 boys and 2 girls play on the same co-ed team. KYUK's Greg Kim reports on how their first season in nearly two decades has been going.
In their first game this year, Mokoryuk played against Tununik, a nearby village. 15-year-old power forward Harvey Wesley said he had butterflies going into the game.
So I was super very nervous because it was my first game, and I was nervous and I was scared.
At the same time, he says he was equally excited.
Because every time I looked at that scoreboard, I was like, oh my gosh, I think we're going to win.
And they did. Mokoryuk won that first game and half their games this season. That's good enough to advance them to the small school district tournament that begins March 3rd in Bethel. If they win that, they'll advance to the state tournament. Wesley says this season hasn't just been about winning, though. It's also been about the relationships he's built with his teammates.
Me and my friends got more closer, and we've been talking to each other for basketball and saying, hey, I think if we do this way, this would be more better.
Plus, he said being part of the team has made him more engaged in school.
Before I ever joined a basketball team, I always seen school as like, I got a long day at school. And then ever since I joined basketball, I'm like, oh yes, I can get all my assignments done and then I can be in a basketball practice.
Wesley is one of just 7 players on the team, 5 boys and 2 girls. The co-ed team plays against other schools' boys' teams. Coach Edward Keoken says the 2 girls both start, which is unique to Mokoryuk.
There's no other co-ed team that I know of right now.
Keoghan says the reason the girls and boys are on the same team and the reason McCoryuk hasn't had a team in nearly 20 years is because there aren't that many students there.
We're a small community. On a good day, it's 200 people. And, you know, we have about 45 kids in the whole school, preschool through 12.
This year, there were finally enough high school students to field a basketball team. Wesley, the sophomore, said he'd been waiting for this day for a long time.
I was so excited. It was because I've been asking my principal, hey, do you think there will be a basketball season this year?
Coach Keoghan says there are students who are from McCoryuk that are attending boarding schools like Mount Edgecombe and Sitka this year. But he says they've heard about the basketball team in McCoryuk and some are wanting to come back. He says that he's hoping to have both a boys' team and a girls' team next year. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Insight Daily Radio. Mother of invention. How good ideas get ignored in an economy built for men is a fascinating and eye-opening examination of business, technology, and innovation through a feminist lens. While we talk about the Iron Age and the Bronze Age, we might as well talk about the Ceramic Age or the Flax Age, since these technologies were just as important. But inventions associated with women are sadly not considered to be technology in the same way. We spoke with author Katrine Marsall about this fascinating new book.
So today we have all of these, you know, programs and conferences and festivals to attract women to tech with sort of pink balloons and you know, it's considered to be important. But in that whole narrative, it's like women were never in tech. Well, you know, really, women invented software. The first programmers were women here in England. But when women were programming computers, it was not considered to be very technical. Then in the 1960s, when the state realized that these new machines would probably be quite important, they panicked because they realized that most people that knew anything about how to program these things were women and completely unsuitable to become, you know, head of computing at the Bank of England. They needed men, and they actually put public money into a program trying to attract the right kind of men into computing.
That's author Katrine Marsall on her latest book, Mother of Invention, How Good Ideas Get Ignored in an Economy Built for Men, which has just been released.
Insight Daily Radio.
A housing needs assessment survey is coming soon to Kodiak. Help your community by participating in the survey, which may come by mail or a phone call. Responses are anonymous and will be incorporated into a housing needs assessment document that will be available to the public. Those who complete the survey will be entered in a prize drawing happening each week in February. This message is sponsored by Kodiak Island Housing Authority.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Here is your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 24th day of February, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 8:16. It will set again at 6:30. That will give us 10 hours and 14 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 56 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 54 degrees in 1936 that was set. Our record low was minus 4 set in 1975. 1975 was a cold year. Currently 44 degrees out there. Northeast winds to 13 at the airport right now. They continue to call for more rain today. It could get heavy at times this evening. East winds to 15 today are expected to increase to 25 and gust up to 30 tonight. We're talking about between 3/4 and 1 inch of rain overnight. Rain's likely tomorrow too, mainly before 9 a.m. Then we're going to get mostly cloudy skies with a high near 44, southeast winds to 25, gusting to 30. Looking at the tides, we have a low tide coming up here on the east side at 2:20 this afternoon. That will be a 1-foot tide. followed by a high tide at 9:01 p.m. That will be at 5.1-foot tide. Our next low tide will be at 1:32 in the morning and be 3.7 feet, only a little more than a foot lower than the high tide. And our high tide for tomorrow morning on the east side will be at 8:14 a.m. and be 8.6 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will come on at 2:45 this afternoon and be 1.4 feet in Larsen Bay. That'll be followed by a high tide at 9:05 p.m. of 9.2 feet, a low tide at 2:22 a.m. of 5.7 feet, and your high tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will happen at 8:45 a.m. and be 12.8 feet. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side. Gale warning tonight and Friday. For tonight, east 35 and seas to 16 feet. For tomorrow, south winds to 35 knots. Should come down to 25 knots tomorrow afternoon, seas to 19 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for tonight. Northeast 35 this evening, increasing to 45 knots. Seas 9 feet, building to 13 feet this evening. For tomorrow, east wind to 30 knots, becoming south 20 in the afternoon, seas to 9 feet. The Borough Assembly will be meeting for a work session this Thursday, February 24th, at 6:30 p.m. in the Bayside Fire Hall. This meeting will also be streamed online at www.kodiakak.us. On the agenda is mayoral confirmation to the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council and disabled veteran widow allowances, along with the packet review for the Assembly regular meeting of March 3rd. Comments can be given during the meeting by phone at 907-486-3231 or emailed to clerks at kodiakak.us by noon Thursday. A little early there. And again, that work session for the borough is tonight, 6:30, at the Bayside Fire Hall. Kodiak City Council will be having a regular council meeting tonight as well. That happens at 7:30. Public participation is both in-person and virtual. Public members are encouraged to tune in right here at KMXT on 100.1 FM, and the meeting will also be web-streamed. The web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. For more information, contact the clerk at 486-8636. And the Senior Citizens of Kodiak Board of Directors will be holding a regular monthly meeting on Friday. That's tomorrow at 1 p.m. in the center's multi-purpose room. Masks and social distancing will be required. The meeting is open to the public. For more information, call 486-6181. The Kodiak Public Library is open to the public again. Its hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, oh no, I keep reading that wrong, 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Monday through Thursday, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Friday and Saturday. Maybe they wrote it wrong. Masks are recommended while in the library. Also, the library Zoom trivia game will be held Monday, February 28th, next Monday at 6:30 p.m. It's a humorous way to spend a Monday night with friends near and far. Find the Zoom link on the library's webpage and join the fun. Everyone is welcome to play trivia with the library. Also, the Kodiak City Council will be having a planning work session. That's happening Saturday. It begins at 9 a.m. in the library. Public participation is both in-person and virtual. The meeting will be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. If you have any other questions, contact the clerk at 486-8636. And the Island Trails Network is collecting submissions for their 12th annual Kodiak Outdoor Film Festival. That will be held Friday, March 11th, and the deadline to submit your entries is March 4th. So get out there and start filming for your adventures. Visit the Island Trails Network website for more information. Disney's beloved musical The Little Mermaid opens on the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium stage on Saturday, March 5th, and plays for 5 performances over the first 2 weekends in March. The Little Mermaid has captivated audiences for generations. Don't miss your chance to go under the sea and discover a whole new world. Tickets are already on sale. Visit the Kodiak Arts Council website at kodiakarts.org for more information and to get your tickets today.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.